Good morning and welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. This morning, we're talking with Michael Korycidis, career coach and motivational speaker. His seminar, 7 Steps to Employment Success, is going to be this coming Wednesday at the Hempstead Public Library from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Welcome, Michael.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. So tell me, how did you get into career coaching and motivational speaking?
Gee, let's see, how much time do we have, Julian? Well, I used to work for a nonprofit, one of the biggest in the area, and for 15 plus years. So one day, the company decided to close its doors. So I was in a crossroads as far as my professional career, and I had to decide what I wanted to do from here moving forward. So I finally decided that I always wanted to do my own consulting work, and I've done that in the past also. So now it's time for me to decide either go full time and just go for it or go back into the comfort of a 9-to-5. So after discussing it with very important people in my life, we decided that I should move forward and go on my own and become a career coach consultant. Having said that, when I was with a nonprofit organization, we really dealt with a diverse group of people from GED to PhD and everything in between. Right. And in that time, I sort of kind of developed what I call my 7 Steps to Employment Success. And that's exactly what it is. And it really helps to navigate people who are looking for jobs, who perhaps are in careers, but they want promotions, they want to move forward, they want to move up the ladder, and they don't quite know how to do that. People who are sort of afraid of what's going on with the security of their jobs today also, because nothing is forever today, as we know. In the old days, we used to, for the company, we had loyalty for the company. But that's out the window. And to me, today I say have loyalty to self. And that's really important. So I decided to really go on my own and just start the business of career consulting and help those people that really need a good understanding of how to go about being better to themselves and to their significant others.
That's great. So these 7 steps, let's kind of go through them and talk about what advice you might give. So your first one is resume, cover letter, thank you letter. What are some things we should know about resume? How many pages and all of that?
Ah, the resume question. It's a big dilemma. And you know, you can ask 10 different professionals, and they'll give you 10 different, you know, ways of doing it. I believe in the KISS philosophy. Keep it simple, short, and sweet, right? So what do I mean by that? People will tell you you could have 2-3 pages. I like a 1-page resume. So let's start with that. How many pages? And why do I say 1 page? I say 1 page because most people can fit their work experience in that 1 page. Also, you have to understand, the human resource companies, they receive maybe 500 plus resumes a day, a week, and so forth. They don't have time to read the Bible. So they want it to be short. They want to be concise. They want to be clear, right? So one resume, in my opinion, is good because they can really have a good understanding by reading the resume whether or not they want to move forward bringing you in and talking to you. A resume does not get you the job. And let's understand that and let's be clear about that. But it is a key. It opens the door for the interview. Once you're in there, that's when the selling begins. And make no mistake, it's selling. You have to sell self to the person you're interviewing with. Let's talk about a little bit of the don'ts in a resume.
Yeah.
Right? So we said, if possible, keep it to one. And a lot of people have, oh, they tell me, I can't, you know, I have so much experience. Well, first of all, don't go past 10 years. Okay, that's the rule of thumb. Second, if you have 2 or 3 pages, look at all your experience and you'll see there's a lot of repetition. Get rid of that repetition. If you know computer ABC system, I don't need to hear it 10 different times from your past work experience, right? So try to really concise and not repeat what you already have done. You don't need to put reference upon, you know, request. Everyone tells you to do that. It just really sort of like finishes off the resume, but there's really no need for that. If people are interested, they will ask for references. The other thing some people do, they actually put references on the resume. Do not do that. Why do I say that? Great question. I'm talking to myself. One of the reasons you really shouldn't do that is because you want to give time to your reference people a heads up that you went to so-and-so interview, they may be calling you, this is what happened, this is what may, you know, they may ask you, this is the way you may want to respond. So you want to give your reference people time. You don't want them to be shocked by somebody calling them out of the blue and then you're not prepared for it.
People who you put down as references, would you only recommend people you've worked with in the past or maybe a friend you might have that's in the same career? Or I'm assuming you stay away from family members.
Good question. First of all, it depends because the company you're interviewing for, they may guide you on that. They may only want professional. They don't want your priest. They don't want your rabbi. They don't want, you know, your cat, your dog. So, if there's a guideline, then you should follow the guideline. Put people's names down there that will give you a raving review. Duh. You know, how simple is that, right? If you had issues in the past with supervisors and bosses, I don't recommend you put their names down there because it may work against you and most likely it will work against you. If you have a friend who's sort of in the same level or a manager that you like, they like you, put people down there that you know will be a positive outcome and not a negative because you just never know what may occur, you know, behind closed doors, if you will. So, yeah, I would put that down. And if they ask for reference like a priest or a rabbi or whoever, go ahead and do that. But again, make sure your references are aware that you're putting their names down and they expect a phone call and that gives them a heads up about what they may want to say.
Right. And with your going back to your resume for a second, I know you said try not to put jobs on there that you maybe had more than 10 years ago. What if you're one of those people that tends to have a longevity in your job? Like you've been working at the same company for 20 years and maybe before that you only had one or two jobs right out of college. What would you recommend for those people?
Don't be afraid. I don't know where people get this idea that if you work for somewhere for 20 plus years, it's a bad thing. You know, that's a good thing. And I think employers want to see that there's a consistency, there's loyalty. So don't be afraid of that. So if you've been in one job, put that in there, but make it relevant to the position you want. Make it relevant to the company you're interviewing for. You know, again, look over those 20 years and transfer what makes sense from where you were to where you want to be. If that makes kind of
sense,
you know? Yeah.
And I'm sure sometimes too, you've had multiple jobs in that company within the same, you know, within that 20 years or whatever. So would you separately list those jobs and different tasks you've done moving up over the years that you've been there?
Listen, pat yourself on the back. You know, I mean, if you're not going to be your best supporter, don't expect others to be your best supporter. So, yeah, show if there's a gradual promotion. If you started out at the mailroom and you work your way up to, you know, stock to secretary to whatever your promotion is in that company, and then you work your way up to management and super, absolutely. You know, don't be cocky. Be confident.
Good advice all around. If you're just joining us, we're here with Michael Kourisidis, who's a career coach and motivational speaker. Right now, we're talking about his 7 Steps to Employment Success, which you can go see him this Wednesday at the Hempstead Public Library from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And it's free. We should mention it's a free interactive seminar where you can come, ask all your career questions. And right now we're talking about resume do's and don'ts and also your cover letter and thank you letter. What do you have to say about those?
Well, thank you for asking. Listen, you know, I teach methodologies. I teach and coach systems. And I think that's where we go wrong, because we don't take job searching seriously. You know, we spend more time on putting a vacation plan together, which for maybe it's a week or two, than we do for our own personal growth and careers. So a cover letter is really important. And why is that? A cover letter is an opportunity to really expand on your resume, right? So if the company wants X, Y, and Z, and your resume touches on that, well, what a wonderful opportunity to send a cover letter that can really expand on the resume and really provide a better understanding to those who are reading it of what you're all about, right? So for the most part, send a cover letter. Sometimes they may tell you don't send a cover letter. Try to follow the rule, you know, of the day. However, if they don't mention that, see it as an opportunity for you to put that on paper, how much you shine and what you're offering to the company that may benefit them and their growth, right? To have you along. So a cover letter, the resume, again, it's a system, right? So the thank you letter, this can solidify you getting the job or not getting the job over your competition. All things being equal, there's so many people who do not send a simple thank you follow-up letter. And that's part of my follow-up system also, the 7 steps. Do you have a follow-up system? And one of them is the thank you note. Many people do not. They don't bother. They don't see the importance of it. But think about it. If you were an employer and you just interview someone and you saw that they sent you a thank you letter and the other 9 people didn't.
Right.
Right? It's that drip, drip, drip.
And it's like a remember me?
Hello? You know, remember me. But equally important is, what if you forgot to mention something, right, that you felt was really important? But, you know, during the interview we were nervous, we were not sure. What a beautiful opportunity to pick up where you left off, right? So a thank you letter also, not only you want to thank people for their time, because time is precious, right? You want to thank them for that, plus, hey, you know, we didn't mention that. You know, I know we discussed X, Y, and Z. Let me just expand on it.
Right.
You want to also, in the thank you letter, close the deal. And we'll talk about the ABCs of sales, right? You want to close the deal. You don't just want to do with purpose. My coaching is really do with purpose. There's nothing you shouldn't be doing without having purpose behind your doing, right? So the thank you letter is a part of the system. Many people don't do it. It'll distinguish you from others, right? But it also gives you an opportunity to say, hey, you know, I really love this company. I want to be a part of the team. Where do we go from here?
And how long would you wait before sending the thank you letter?
Excellent question. There may be a difference of opinion, but mine is right, theirs is wrong. Let's say you went on a Monday interview.
Mm-hmm.
By Wednesday, they should have your letter.
Oh, okay.
So 2 days, 3 days, the most. Why? Give it a week. They forgot who you are. They've already interviewed 20 other people, 30 other people, right? So what you want to do is drip on them every week. Every week, they should get something from you. So you went to the interview. 2 days later, drip the interview. 2 days later, drip the thank you letter. Wait 5 more business days, right? Follow up with a phone call. I know today people don't like to use the phone. They like to use their gadgets, right? Call up. Remind them, hey, this is so-and-so. We had that meeting. I just want to make sure that you got my thank you letter.
Mm.
And then quiet up.
Right.
Right? People, especially salespeople, they like to talk and talk and talk. Sometimes ask a question. And hush up,
mm-hmm.
right? Throw it back to them and then hush up, lean back, and wait to see what kind of response you get, right? Mm-hmm. So every week you should get something, the employer that you interview with should get something to keep reminding them. And you know what? Consistency pays off. People tell me, well, Michael, isn't that a little bit pushy? And isn't that a little bit blah, blah, blah? Really? Do you want the job or you don't? I'm not saying you should stalk the person. I'm not saying you should call them every 3 minutes, you know. But every week, every 2 weeks, they should get some kind of follow-up. And you know what they'll tell you? They'll say to you, you know what? You're the only one that has been constantly calling me consistently. You must really want the job.
Right.
You're hired. Bam. Always be closing.
If you're just tuning in, we're here with Michael Korycides, who's a career coach and motivational speaker. We're getting a lot of great advice from him right now, especially on resume building, cover letter, thank you letter. For more information, he's going to be at the Hempstead Public Library from 7 to 8:30 p.m. this coming Wednesday. And it's free, right?
Absolutely.
How can you pass up this free opportunity to get better in your career? It's a great thing. All right. So we're talking your 7 steps to employment success. Number 2, activity search list. Talk to me about this.
Well, let's see. It's so important to do more, not less. Most of us, when we're searching for employment, we may do 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 things, right? And then we sit back and we wait. Make a list, and make a physical list of how many different ways you reach out to different organizations, different companies that will help you get employment sooner rather than later. The less you do, the less percentage of success. The more you do, the more percentage. And I'm really bad in math, but I know that the more you do, the better your opportunity and chances.
That's the important math, yeah.
That's the important math, right? Get it done, right? Let the people, so the different activity job lists. You know, so what are the different ways of searching, right? Most of us do the internet and the different job sites, Monster, Indeed, and so forth and so forth. And by the way, you don't need me to tell you the information. You can Google job sites, mm-hmm. and you'll get hundreds of them, right? So do that. You don't need to hear me give you a list of. Take it, get off your cushion, right? Get onto the computer. So technology is a beautiful thing. So you use that, right? But then what other ways? You know, in the old days, we used to use a newspaper.
What's that? Do our viewers know what that is? Or listeners?
You know, I am a dinosaur. I'll admit, you know, I'm a dinosaur. But yeah, you know, when I was with a nonprofit, out of my own money, my own pocket, I used to always bring the New York Sunday Times, the Daily News, the Post. I mean, I just went to pick them up because... And I used to come home and sit and highlight different jobs for my clients. And then come Monday, that was a big part of our classroom situation, is going over the newspaper ads. So do the newspaper thing. See, the idea is to get that one lead that you didn't get from the other activities you're doing. So you want to get the most possible leads from different resources, right? So if you limit those resources, you limit the leads and the possibilities that are out there that not one particular activity handled all the information, right?
So then would you recommend, I've seen a lot of companies throwing mixers, or a lot of, if you work in media, there might be a mixer in the city where there's people from different organizations, and I think that they do that in other fields as well. Would you recommend going to something like that?
You know, I'm on the fence with that. I'm on the fence with that because I don't know. I mean, the simple answer is, sure, do whatever, you know, do everything, right? But we don't have, in the real world, you know, it's not Hollywood, right? This is Long Island Wood. We don't have the opportunity to really jump from here to there because there's so many of them, right? How do you decide and whatever? You know, so a lot of times you go there, it's more of a party environment than a business environment. If you have nothing else to do and you're not doing anything else and you want to add that as your job search activity list and have a drink while you're, you know, do it, right? It's not going to hurt you. If it's not helping you, eliminate it. And that's what you really also have to be very mindful of. If you're doing something and it's not working, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And that's part, I do a program called the 12 Steps to Power Goal Setting, right? And part of that is, you know, you have to be flexible with your goals. If something's not working, fix it. You know, hello, how simple is that, right? So it's like banging your head on the wall and wondering why your head's starting to bleed. And the wall's going to be there. It's not going anywhere. You're going to the hospital after you know. So be smart with the choices of activities that you do. And sometimes we may have to do 100 things, but then start, you know, bringing it down to what's really working for you. Yeah, so also, if I may, a lot of people, you know, it's a very emotional time when people are unemployed. It's almost taboo. It used to be even worse back in the day. Now, it's not as bad, but people still psychologically, mentally, emotionally feel the burn, the shame, right? Stop doing that to yourself. You are not alone. It's normal. It's okay. Better days are ahead, right? The sun will shine tomorrow. Tell everyone what your situation is. Do not be afraid, you know, I'm embarrassed. Forget that. You're embarrassed to ask for help, but you're unemployed. Why is that good for you? How is that good for you, right? Tell your family, tell your friends, go to your house of worship, talk to the man in charge, let him know, because the person in the house of worship, they know the community. They know who's who and what they're doing. They may lead you to a community member, a church member, a house of worship member that can help you, right? So don't be afraid to reach out and touch.
Right. You never know who's looking or who knows somebody that's looking to fill a spot. I think that's really important. Something else really important on your list, dress for success. Let's talk about how to do that. What do you recommend wearing to an interview, and what should we stay away from?
Well, you should really wear a low cut. If you're a woman, wear a really low cut. Only kidding.
Right. If Harvey Weinstein's interviewing us, maybe.
Then you don't have to, you know, just come as you are. But seriously. So look, if you are a man, let's start with that. And it's funny, you know, the rule of thumb is wear a nice suit, wear a nice white shirt, wear the red power tie, right? That was in the old days. Though today you can wear a little more color shirt, a little color tie to match. But I don't like the color brown. And I don't suggest the color brown because psychologically, what do people envision when they see the color brown?
Nothing we want to look like.
Well, you know, it's like a used car salesman. And especially they're wearing white socks. No white socks. Right? So the blues, you know, the navies, the blacks, right?
What about a red? Would you say that's a power color?
The red is a power color. But I think today, you know, it used to be red was the color to go with, as far as tie, I think we're talking about, right? But yeah, go with that. But you don't have, you know, there are other colors today that it's okay. Let me just preface that. Depending what company you go to, depending what the culture is, right? Now, if you're going for construction, you shouldn't wear your Gucci, you know, $2,000 suit. Leave that at home. You may want to wear a sports jacket, a nice tie, right? Khaki pants, right? If you're going for construction or maintenance or that kind of thing. If you're going to a bank, you want that pinstripe gray, right, with a power tie, power shirt, shoe shine, black socks, right? So depending, if you're going for a creative environment. You may want to know the culture of that environment and then dress appropriate for that type of environment, because a pinstripe suit may not work for an advertising or, you know, graphics as it would for a bank. So be aware of that. Women, back in the day, right? Because things change.
Right.
Right? It's not necessarily that it's wrong, but things change. It used to be also the skirt, the jacket, the blouse, right? Today, women can wear the pantsuit. It's okay. I would leave out the big, round, jiggly earrings. I will leave out the heavy perfume.
The things that are distracting.
They're distracting. I will leave out the low cut V blouse that you want to wear. I mean, again, dress the position you're trying to achieve, right? And the company you want to work for. And it's so easy to look up that company and really look, right?
Right, get a sense of what they're wearing and what they expect from their employees.
Absolutely. But in worst case scenario, go on Google, dress for success. You'll get 100 different, on what to wear or not to wear, the do's and the don'ts, the dangling, the jewelry, KISS. I think that's a good advice.
Yeah, and let's reiterate what that stands for.
Keep it simple, stupid. Keep it short and sweet.
Michael, you have given us the best advice today. Thank you so much for joining us. You can see Michael at the Hempstead Public Library this Wednesday from 7 to 8:30 p.m., and it's free. And you have a couple other dates coming up. What are those dates?
Sure. Thanks for asking. So I have three other seminars that are coming up, and they're all totally free. So on January 30th from 7 to 8:30 p.m., I'll be at the Flora Park Public Library, right? And it'll be the 7 Steps to Employment Success. Also, come February 27th, I'll be at the South Country Library, also from 7 to 8:30. And finally, June 13th at the Freeport Memorial Library. Now, here I'm going to give my seminar will be on public speaking. So if public speaking is a concern, you're a little bit nervous, you're a little bit afraid, then that's a perfect seminar for you to attend. And again, it's June 13, 7 to 8:30 at the Freeport Memorial Library. If you're in the business, if you speak in front of groups, I think that's going to be a wonderful, I'll give you some techniques and some ideas on how to become more confident in your public speaking.
And if you have any questions for Michael, you can email him at acareercoachforyou, that's the number 4, the letter U, at yahoo.com. That's all for Plugged into Long Island. Have a great rest of your weekend.